Welcome back to the West Side Discussion Podcast. My name is Jay. Thanks for listening. This is episode 12, another off-season episode. This week, I'm joined by Joe Zimmerle and Josh Rich to talk about some of the new trilogy signings that have happened so far. Joe, Josh, welcome. Thanks for coming on. How you guys doing?
Good. Good. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So before we get into some of the players that Trilogy got, Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, who are you? Where have you been? How long have you been playing disc golf? What's going on?
I'm Josh Rich. For those that don't know, I'm also the Pink Pericole as my persona on Instagram because I throw all pink, have the pink heart. Just love pink discs because they're easy to spot out there in Daylaw. It's my home course. Been playing disc golf for a few years, but super competitive for the last year. And, you know, I'm out there every day. That's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm going out on my first tour this year, doing some little stops here and there, trying to get to a couple of the big places. But yeah.
Perfect. And Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I'm Joe. I am based out in Thousand Oaks. I run a podcast, Toe Jam Disc Golf Podcast. Actually, like a couple miles away from Jay. Jay's in, you know, a different town than I am. But yeah, I've been playing probably like 4.5 years, I think. Probably 4.5, going on 5. Serious, I would say serious as in more focused, probably like 3 years, really just kind of playing a lot and actually worrying about my score. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Great. And we'll have all that information about your podcast in the show notes. Of course, my favorite episode is probably, you know, a few episodes back, the one I was on, but I'm a little biased.
That was my favorite too.
But I'm a little biased. I'm a little biased on that one. So, Rory, thanks again for coming on. And, you know, in previous episodes, talking to some of the other players from Team Westside, you know, I was asking them about how they got involved with Westside and sponsorship. And the both of you have some sponsorships for 2022. So, Josh, I'll start with you. Why don't you tell me about your sponsor and how you got involved and, you know, what your relationship is with them?
Right on. Yeah. So I am a brand ambassador and sponsored by Four Disc Golf, and they are a California, somewhat local California company that is doing apparel, and they also have a whole stockpile of discs that they're vending, trying to get into that market. And actually, they found me. I'm, like I said, I'm really active on social media, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or, you know, Facebook or any, it's my job. I'm on social media 24/7, and they actually approached me and a few other influencers about how our content is. They liked how dedicated we were to the sport and about growing the sport in a positive way. And, so they approached me and we worked together and figured out some good things, and really looking forward to this 2022 season with Four Disc Golf. They are a good group of people with some big plans.
Awesome. And do you have any codes or anything that people can use on their website?
Yeah, I've got an affiliate code that is JRich10. It'll save you 10% at checkout. So definitely get on there. See, I think they may still have Cloudbreakers, but I'm not sure. You know, the big drops.
Got it. All right. We'll check that. I'll have that in the show notes. And Joe, tell us about your sponsors.
Yeah. So this year is my first year being sponsored. I will be representing, or I am representing, AGL Disc, above ground level disc, based out of Scotts Valley. So close to you, Josh, in the Daylaw area, Santa Cruz area. Seriously, great guys. I am on their Woodland team. So I will be playing in a few tournaments and doing some work locally around, but I'm super excited for them. As for getting connected with AGL, I honestly think the way I heard about them was through my Instagram. I think they popped up on like one of my reels or stories or suggested follows, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, this is local enough, in the sense of I was looking for something so different at the time. Going through, right? I was going through a bag reconstruction, so I decided I was wanting to be the one guy in this entire area who threw AGL. Nice. And I kind of just, I don't even know I want to say my first disc came from like Airwolf Athletics. They sent me one and it was a Sycamore. I'm not going to lie, I didn't like it at first. but I ended up like, I think I got a Cedar next, and then I kind of liked how it felt and then forced myself to like it. And then soon after came Molds and Molds and Molds. But Josh and Sam are super cool dudes. I am super excited to be working with them. And actually, I'm really excited to learn a lot from them and how they do their business. So that's kind of how I heard about them. And I applied for their team this last year. So that's how that went. And then the other one is Dreamspace Disc Golf. Honestly, guys, this is going to be really funny. I just applied for their team, kind of forgot that I applied for it, found out that I got on the team. And I was like, okay, this is kind of cool.
I forgot I applied.
Well, I forgot I applied. I knew like it was, but it also, I kind of forgot because it was so quick. It was maybe like a week or two they did their turnaround, as opposed to most teams take like months. Like AGL, I felt like I was
right
sitting there for like a month and a half, 2 months. And that's also because of the influx of people they got. They're a little bit, they're a more established, bigger than obviously Dreamspace. So not really sure how many applied, but anyways, got in, talked on the phone with Armando, and like the next day I was like, all right, I'm in. So that's how I heard about them. And it's funny, Armando and I have a lot in common. We're both from San Diego, pretty similar in age, with similar high schools, you know, so it's kind of cool. It's kind of like a, not a match made in heaven, but pretty darn close to like.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah, and also to be cared about. I feel like both of them really care, both AGL and Armando at Dreamspace were willing to work with each other and also work with me, so super happy about that.
Yeah, I know Josh and Sam are always taking care of their friends and their teammates really, really well.
Absolutely, yeah. That was kind of the one thing that made me want to apply was knowing how much they, like, I was just posting a lot about them at first on social media. Like, a lot of people thought I was sponsored. I think maybe even Jay might have thought I might have been before, and I wasn't up until about a few weeks ago. But it's because, you know, they interact with their customers. They really enjoy people who enjoy their molds and want other people to get involved in it. But they don't force it, you know. They don't want you to, like,
right.
They don't put this disc in front of your face and say you should love this, right? So, which is kind of why we like are allowed to throw an open bag too. So, anyways, yeah, that's a lot.
Awesome. Well, congrats to both of you on that. And Joe, what you're saying about, you know, being the throwing something different down here, as you mentioned, we're in the same area and this is a legacy country where we're at, and they're great guys. But yes, that's what most people throw here. So,
well, exactly. That was exactly why.
Yeah, seeing you throw an AGL, then that's where I first heard about it. First heard about it too. So,
well, and that was the kind of the thing was I thought I was kind of stubborn, and I wanted to see, like, I was like, if you're really good at disc golf, in my brain, right? This is what, if you want to be really good, you'll learn how to throw anything. So I just tried to make myself as most uncomfortable as possible, throwing any different company that I could find, and just kind of stuck with them.
And it's working.
Yeah, it's working.
And they're such good people, you know. And I just did my tournament out in Mesa, and out of the sea of 140 people there, it was easy to spot the one person that had the Yellowstone bag and the 1F Jeff artwork on it. And I was like, oh, dude, you got AGL all over you, man. This is awesome. Got a picture with him. You know, I'm 600 miles from home, but here's this guy with the all AGL bag. It was really cool.
Yeah. No, that's really funny that you even know about them too. I mean, obviously in Scotts Valley, but like that reputation really holds.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Well, congrats again to you guys on that. Wish you the best of luck in 2022 and best of luck with your sponsorships there. So let's switch it over then and just talking about some Trilogy signings that have happened. So we can just start, I guess, from the beginning. Was Kristen first or Maddie O? What happened in the timeline? Do you guys remember?
Kristen.
All right. So Kristen renewed 4 years. $500,000, right? Each year?
Yeah. Yep. No, not 500K each
no,
year.
Not, yeah, not five each.
Right.
Total. It was, 4 years. Yeah, 4 years, 500K, similar. It's through 2025.
Right on. So that's, and that was the big, at the time, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that was the biggest signing for FPO?
I believe so.
The biggest at least advertised. I think Pages is competitive. to that, but I don't know if the number is either released or, like, this was big. I know that.
Yeah, so with hers and Kona being the advertised, do you think if Pages is that much, do you think that might come out eventually? Do you think people be more open with how much they're getting paid and how much they're paying?
I think especially on the FPO side, like Kona said in the live 2 days ago, especially the FPO is going to start coming out and being more open about what they're getting paid so that it can be competitive with all of those women.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a reason why the FPO players shouldn't be getting paid as much as the men's players. And my reason why is Kona Panis has as much, if not more, influence on social media than half of these signings from the men's side this entire offseason. So just from the, like, looking at this list on that Ulti World put together, I think it's very valid. And I think Paige isn't like not interactive on social media. So I think she has a good influence in obviously her game and on social media. So I think she will get a bigger deal. And I think Discraft definitely is going to be able to back it.
Well, and one of the things that I keep going to with Kristen signing is we see that number and that's a big number and that's a huge deal. But then you think about the conversion, she's an Estonian player. And that is a huge, even larger, you know, lump sum for an EU player. And what is that going to do for the sport overseas also?
Yeah, that's a great point, too. And she's going to be playing more in the U.S. next year, right? Isn't that what the plan was?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you know what's funny? Like, a lot of people were like, 400, 4 years, 500K. I wonder if that's because she's going to have to travel more. And then Kona's deal comes out as 4 years, 500K. And it's like, I don't think this is a travel thing, guys. I think this is just standard, which is what it needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think just like, I mean, we'll talk more about it, but just like how baseball signings each year go up, it's just gonna go up for disc golf.
Absolutely.
All right. So then over to West Side Discs, Matty O coming over. How big is
Roll
this
Tide?
Sign?
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. I love it. I'm just very excited about it.
Yeah, it's definitely huge. I mean, you say his name and you just get a big smile on your face. You can't not. It's infectious. Matty O's charisma and character is awesome, and it fits perfectly in the Trilogy family.
What do you think is the biggest thing he's going to be able to bring to West Side and Trilogy?
Competitiveness. Sorry, you go ahead.
I was going to say, besides his, you know, his fun is definitely competitiveness.
Yeah, I think he has a not that they didn't have this before, but I think he brings consistency in the competitive side. I think he's always a name to be aware of, and also I think he also brings the best golf aspect to the game for them. He throws a lot of mids, putters, his form is everything. So I just think through and through, an amazing signing, and at the time was the most shocking in my eyes up until recent events of every other team gaining or losing.
In what way?
For Matty O being shocking?
Yeah.
Well, because I don't know. I think before this year, I never really saw, you didn't see Westside, DD, Latitude making splashes ever since they lost Rick. So, you know, maybe for not thinking about, oh, well, they're due soon. Didn't see it coming.
Got it. Okay.
I would agree with that, too. I liken the Trilogy stuff to kind of like West Coast baseball mentality, where they're building franchises for the future, starting young and having all of this, you know, young talent that they invest in. And then you have other companies that are kind of like the Yankees that put a bunch of money into 1 year contracts. So they know that those people are going to win titles this year. It'll sell discs. And then, yeah, Matty O coming out of left field, no pun intended. There he is. It was a huge, huge shock that I still can't quit smiling about. I love it.
Well, and it was so quick. I mean, Prodigy, right? Like, one day he was on Prodigy, the next morning we woke up. Oh, hey, he's on West Side. Like, there was no, I'm leaving my sponsor. There was none of that. It was just, boom, overnight, I felt like it at least.
Right.
They didn't give us time to speculate. It was just we woke up one morning. And I also think that somebody spoiled it in some sort of channel. So I remember them saying, well, now that the news is out, I guess we have to say.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was like if they just didn't have time to, but it was literally overnight. I mean, it was pretty cool. And I think I also maybe I just didn't expect the move, because when you think of Prodigy, you think of Hayley Visca, Kevin Jones. Maddie O is in that realm because they just kind of have been throwing them for, you know, a decent amount of time. So you will learn to love this man.
Awesome. Excited about watching him this year. So then we got a huge kind of exodus from Innova, right? So we got Valerie Mandahanu, right? She left. Mason Ford. And then, of course, Kona Panis and Ricky Wysocki. All left Innova. Do you think Innova just has no incentive to keep the players because with the growth of disc golf and discs are selling, there's no need to pay players more? Or what do you think's happening here?
Oh man. It's hard to say, honestly. I mean, you would think that a company of that size would see the value in all of their players, big to small. And it's pretty surprising to see what's happening. But I think that honestly, players are looking for their home that feels right. And, you know, at this point, players definitely are looking to be treated right with either plastic or, you know, financially or whatever it is. Something's going on over there for sure. I don't know, man.
I agree with you. I also think, when you look at the list, Mason Ford is pretty simple to say there's not much room at Innova for him to grow. And it's not a value necessarily. It's a visually be valued more at a different company because he's not another fish in the sea. If you look at Innova's star team, like it's not their most impressive star team in the last 5 years, probably, right? But there's definitely a lot of good players on there that I don't know if he's better than or can move more plastic than, right? And then you look at Champion and, you know, there's a ton of that one's loaded too. I mean, Joel Freeman's on Champion, Team Champion, like, and he had an amazing season too. So there's like a lot of players and the crew team is still pretty good too. So I think Innova is willing to let go of players because if you look down their list, they just have this like awesome young talent down below. I mean, Austin Hoop is an up-and-coming name. He made lead coverage.
Yeah.
And Alex Russell is on this list, too. I mean, like, on the crew team, which is below Champion. So, there's just a lot of names. I think they're not worried. Somebody said that they think that's also another person speculating on this was talking to me about it. And they said that they think that we're in a current wave of players, manufacturers overpaying because they feel like they have to snag these players now. And they think Innova is going to try and ride out the wave in hopes that they don't have to overpay for some of these players right away and get the same production and the same numbers out of sales. That's my take. I think that Mason going to DD was an amazing move because it's for him and for DD.
Yeah, for sure. He's another person that fits really well. I saw Mason at De La talking with, I believe it was Luke Sampson, and the two of them, just the way that they were interacting was, I could see that kind of, you know, oh, you look like kind of a Trilogy guy. And then I was surprised. I was like, oh, whoa, no, that's an Innova guy. That's not, you know, usually I try not to look at the players to see their characteristics and what company characteristics they fall under, but there's just that kind of like friendly family vibe of Trilogy players that is neat.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the two big signings then, with Dynamic Disc, Kona and Ricky. How long do you think it would take Kona to kind of fit into a Dynamic Disc bag?
Sounds like she's already doing pretty good with it. Podcast yesterday, it sounded like she was fitting in pretty good.
I said she's in my episode, I actually just, we talked about it a couple of days ago. I said, great signing for DD, but Kona is a competitor. She's going to love how the plastic feels, but I think that it's going to take time to adjust just because she was with Innova for a little. Like
she grew up right with Innova.
Exactly. Right. I mean, her dad works for Innova. So, right. So it's not, I hope she adapts quick, because once you know how to throw a disc, you just kind of figure it out, regardless of manufacturers. But there's definitely like a learning curve, I think, even at our level of just competitiveness, right? Like we're all, you know, playing quite often, but you put another disc in her bag to get it just right the way we want it to go is going to take a little longer. So I think we'll see a little bit of downslide, like not a lack in production, but just what we would have expected. But then we'd see her like excel the back end of the season, like through the roof, maybe even like multiple wins. That's my kind of prediction.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I was listening to the Understable Minds podcast, the sequel podcast with her in it. I believe that it just came out yesterday. And they were asking and follow up, you know, now that you've been able to throw some of these discs, how do you feel like it's going for you? And she sounded really confident. And I agree that it's definitely going to take more time than anyone's speculation, because she's going to have the nerves and the pressure when she goes back out, that it is a new bag, it is new discs. And, you know, I think, like you said, maybe not a down slump or anything like that, but you might not see her jump out of the gate with some big wins right away. But I definitely think she is gunning for some huge wins this season.
Exactly. I mean, regardless of performance, there's an imaginary target on her back, right? Everybody's looking at her. So I think that will have a lot. But I think, seriously, I think the one thing she does have working for her is EMAC, like right there with her. I mean, right. Literally watching that front nine video of her and EMAC throwing around, I felt like very, I don't know, I felt very happy for her, because I think she's going to get, I don't know anything about Innova when I say this, but I think she's going to get one-on-one attention, and what not attention better than like the guy who's helping make half of these discs, you know?
Whose name is on the disc.
Literally, he knows, he made the disc, he knows what it does, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know, I feel very happy with this all. And I think, like I said, I mean, her success might not be right away, but define success, right? Like maybe she might not be winning, but she might be throwing really well and putting up good scores, you know, things like that.
Yeah, she said she's thrown that grace 10 or 15 feet further than anything she's previously thrown, and that even Colton was surprised when she was throwing that, wow, that, you know, how are you getting that distance? And she's just happy with that disc, which is great. And then, like you said, you know, she does have EMAC right there who's helping. And when we see the promo video for her going through the warehouse, she's got that big smile. It seems like she is definitely getting that one-on-one time. She's getting the focus that she deserves, and that's awesome to see. And that's only going to boost your confidence to play that much better this season.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just through and through, it's going to be really fun to watch.
Definitely.
So then you're thinking then that Matty O and Ricky are probably going to have an easier time coming back, since they've only been gone, you know, just a few years, right?
I think Rick is going to adapt really well. I think Matty O, I think he's going to adapt well too, but I mean, I don't know. I think he has, if you're going to compare the two, I think Rick made his Innova lineup based off of things he liked out of Latitude in the Trilogy lineup. I mean, that's kind of like what you do everywhere.
Right.
So it's kind of dumb for me to say that, but I mean, the pig got famous because he loved throwing the harp. He didn't throw a pig before he threw a harp, if that makes sense. I'm pretty sure he didn't. When he was with Innova, other time he was with them, I'm pretty sure. So I think he's gonna come back like guns blazing.
Definitely.
As they brought in the big guns.
Yep. Yeah, I think that Matty O seems like he is clicking well with the plastic, and that from the first little teaser videos through to what we're seeing now, it seems like he is enjoying it. But we might see that same kind of learning curve where it's not quite what he's used to for the first few, you know, events of this season. Ricky, man, part of me wants to say that he's gonna have some of that same pressure issue because people are putting extra on him now. Ricky is back, so he's gonna do that much better, you know, and that's kind of unfair. He's amazing in his own way already, so to say that he's gonna be even better is insane, but you know, only time will tell. And he seems like he's pretty stoked to be back, and he's saying, you know, he held on to some of those gems, so hopefully some of those harps are still there, some of those daggers are still with him.
All right, so kind of going back to contracts, talking about being more open with the contracts and letting everyone know what's in them and how much money. Do you think these contracts that people know about, the ones that they say like this many years, this, you know, these many dollars, do you think those are gonna be harder for players to break later on, or do you think or do you think there's not a problem with players leaving early from their manufacturer, as we've been seeing?
I think that was foreshadowed. I mean, I feel like DD has done a lot of foreshadowing on these announcements. There's been a lot of little leaks here and there, but I think that Emacs said it himself that when the contracts start talking about millions of dollars and massive yearly bonuses and stuff, that there's got to be some kind of a clause in there that if you break the contract early, you know, you're subject to paying back however much you've been paid or something to keep those players in place, because the companies are putting a lot out there for them.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think for the sport to take it to the next level, manufacturers need to get contract writers in there, whether that's legal firms or just like, I mean, the opposite of a grant writer. So somebody who would write it to where like grant writers are there so they can give away money and the other way around.
Right.
So, I mean, just somebody who is very good with contracts. I think that's what it's going to take, because not that they need to announce the consequences, but it didn't seem like anybody, with the amount of people who are dropping in the amount of days, like it seemed like when one person dropped, that fueled the fire for the next person to drop.
Yeah. Or
when they found out that this person made this much amount of money, that person goes, oh my gosh, I'm not making more than them, and I have X amount of titles of whether that's USDGC World or Elite Series wins or Pro Tour win, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. It was just this consistent domino effect of people dropping like flies. So I think we'll only see that for two seasons. And then after that, I think manufacturers will get their ducks in a row about contracts. And like you said, I think there do need to be consequences. I mean, even in our small sponsorships, I mean, I'll speak on mine, not necessarily which one, but there are certain things that can happen if breach the contract, right? I mean, we can breach it at any time, but you know, there are probably certain things that we have to do. Nothing specific, just I mean, as we're reading them, that's what it says. So I imagine that it'll only either get stricter or more clear in the next two seasons.
Right. Well,
and you've got all of these big name players now are going through the newly formed player agent facilities that, you know, I can't remember now,
it's like Schaefer or something,
the one that Ricky was using. Yeah. And then there was the other one that Drew Gibson used and Eric Oakley used to go, Eric used it to go over to Infinite. And anyways, you know, we're seeing those types of entities becoming more popular with the big name players. Makes me think that the contracts from those, you know, companies, whether it's Trilogy, Innova, Discmania, whoever, those contracts have to be looking much more legal if you have an agent or a manager looking over your contract to make sure that it all looks good. And especially at Ricky's level or Macbeth's level, where you're talking millions of dollars, I'm sure that there's something in there that is keeping them in place for at least a set period of time.
Well, And you know what'll be interesting is to see if they start getting, like, in pro sports, if you look at baseball or football or actually it's usually baseball or basketball, they get, you know, their team options or their player options after 3 years. It's a 5-year deal. Mm-hmm. After the third year, they have a player's option to stay another year or two. And beyond that, it's like or a team option, whatever. Doesn't matter. They can just cut ties. Manny Machado has, like, for baseball, anybody listening to baseball, it's like 10 years, right? But it's after the fourth season, he can cut ties with the Padres, but he's not guaranteed any of that money that was left on the table. So things like that. I think that'll become more likely.
So let me ask you guys, how many years until a Trilogy player wins Worlds, whether that's MPO or FPO?
This year.
This year, yeah. I agree.
All right. All right. Well, we'll mark it down. We'll revisit. Do you want to say if it's going to be FPO or MPO, or just going to leave it at Trilogy wins Worlds?
I think there's a good shot for both. Honestly, I think there's a good shot for both.
I would agree. I think there's a good shot for both, and I think there's an even better shot if they go out and get one of these last players that is still out there. I think I don't know if you want any speculations, Jay.
Yeah, we're getting towards the end. Let's go ahead and speculate. What you got?
What if they got Katrina Allen? I mean, they're just throwing money around. At this point, is this even possible? I don't even know. But if they got Katrina, I would definitely say FPO has a great chance over the MPO. But right now, like, both of them have an amazing chance. So there's no... I'm not even trying to stir the pot or anything. I'm just definitely like, there is, DD just came out of left field throwing money around with anybody. So I'm interested to see what's left on the table.
And I'm thinking with Haley that, you know, I have nothing to go off of, but just in my gut, I'm thinking that's another young player, and DD likes the young players that have a big future. There could be a possibility that, you know, we could see Haley join with Team Trilogy, and that would be exciting too.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of forgot about her too. I mean, not forgot, but I just didn't even think, like, Haley would probably be more realistic than Katrina. Just money wise, I think, you know, it's
right.
Take a shot on somebody who's a little bit younger, get them for probably a little cheaper because they don't have, and it's kind of wrong to do this, but they don't have, you know, the titles to back it like Katrina. So, it's smart business-wise. I don't know. I mean, Kristen Tatar, if she comes and plays on tour, she's already a top five player. And Ricky is just hungry. I mean,
yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think they have a good
amazing shot. Do you think he's hungrier than Paul after this year? Or after, I guess, last year?
So, you know, I think he's hungry. I think last year he was hungrier. The reason I would say... and this is my personal opinion, the reason I say he's probably not hungrier is than Paul. Ricky is not hungrier than Paul this year, is because Paul removed himself as a owner from Foundation Disc Golf, and he is more focused on his foundation and playing. But they had come out, I've been watching a lot of their podcasts lately on YouTube, and they had come out and said that, you know, Paul had said something along the lines of, I'm not, you know, I want to focus more on, like, I'm just getting too carried away with everything, in a good way. And they ended like very well. It was, but I think that's, you know, one thing is when Paul makes a move like that, something he really loves, he had to let go of. So I think that's inherently saying, or implicitly saying, I'm ready to win.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that too. It, you know, I don't know obviously anything about Macbeth's personal life, but it did seem like he was doing quite a lot outside of the golf stuff last season, whether it was with the foundation or whether it was helping Brody or whether it was helping Hannah or doing whatever he was doing. He seemed like he was going all hours of the day, all directions, and then playing top-notch golf on top of it. So, he definitely could be a bigger threat this season that he is focusing in.
And I agree with you so much because, like, I think Paul Macbeth was slightly distracted being owner of a company that's succeeding and all these other things and starting a foundation, I would say like out of 100%, like maybe 5 to 10% distracted or like just super busy. But like humans can't do that much, you know? And I think we're used to seeing the machine out of Paul Macbeth, and we overlook that he only lost Worlds by one stroke.
Right.
Shot,
right.
You know, so I don't think he was distracted per se, because he really, the difference of us having this conversation right now is a shot, like one right. shot. Yeah. That's literally it. The impossible shot from 200 and something feet, 37.
And that's why I'm asking. So, you know, I know Ricky coming back is going to have his target and it's going to be hungry to win and you know, prove himself, especially with this blockbuster contract. But yeah, when you watch those replays and the whole crowd erupts and except for one person, that's Paul standing there. I think he's going to be hungry next year to come out and say, he's going to come out and like, it's not going to come down to one shot. Like I'm going to be,
well,
way,
that was the thing
ahead.
Was usually we're exactly, that is exactly what I was going to say. Usually he wins by a few strokes. It doesn't come down to the wire much. He pulls out in the last five holes because he's just clutched, you know, he just clutches up. And I mean, maybe we saw his hungriness come at USDGC, but I don't think he's done yet. I think he's hungrier now because his window of opportunity competing at a high level with young talent coming in, making it harder, and him getting older, I think he realizes that, you know, okay, I got like X amount of years left till right. until I see some drop off. Not much, but some.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
But for the sake of the podcast, I'll go ahead and agree with you. And I'll say also that Trilogy will have MPO and FPO winner at Worlds. So you heard it here first on the West Side Discussion podcast. We're the first to openly predict it.
Yep.
So yep, we'll replay this. We'll replay this episode afterwards and see what happens.
Yeah, it was easy to agree with you on this one, Jay, when you have two of the best players.
So also just to mention as well, Gavin Rathbun from Discmania to Dynamic Discs, and Erica Stinchcomb signed a 2-year extension with Westside Discs. So didn't want to overlook those two signings as well, but I think we pretty much covered it. Was there any other thoughts that you guys wanted to mention?
Man, it's just going to be an exciting year is all I can think. You know, we've seen these signings. I feel like there's a couple of more little surprises that we might see, not necessarily, you know, signing wise, but still some information coming out on cool plastic and who knows what else, but it seems like it's just going to be fireworks all season long.
Absolutely. I kind of want to direct everybody and say, like, direct them to the FPO coverage and watch that this year, because it's going to be unreal. I think especially with Erica Stinchcomb re-signing, I just think we're going to have a wild ride ahead of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, before we go, give us your socials again and plug your sponsors. What are your codes? Josh, I'll start with you.
Great. I am most active on Instagram. You can find me there at jrich831. And please check out 4discgolf, 4discgolf.com. Use code jrich10 at checkout to save yourself some money, because I know everybody's recovering after the holidays right now. And huge thank you, Jay, for having me on.
Absolutely. And Joe, where can we find you?
Find me on Instagram. That's where I'm most active, except I'm starting a Facebook group. And I'm also on YouTube. It's Toe Jam Disc Golf. So it's for Instagram. It's Toe Jam, TOEJAM _ disc _ golf. Follow me on Instagram. And for YouTube, it's just Toe Jam Disc Golf. If you Google it, or whatever, you'll find me. My sponsors, I have some checkout codes or discount codes. So you can go to agldisc.com and go load up your cart. When you're done, use ToeJam10, same way it's spelled in Instagram, ToeJam10, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. And for Dream Space, it'll probably be ToeJam10 as well. It's just on its way.
Perfect. And I'll have all that information in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. This is the West Side Discussion podcast. I want to thank Joe and Josh for coming on. The theme song is What Would You Be Like by Akira the Don. We'll continue the discussion next time.